Good afternoon, everybody. Ian Bill Coleman here with you on this Friday afternoon. I was scheduled to speak for the Pauk City Chamber of Commerce, Pauk of Politics today, but we had a substitute come to town. Governor Kevin Stitt came and spoke today, and he is in the studio right now. Governor, welcome back to Pauk City.
Oh, thank you so much. Such an honor to be with everybody here, and love coming back to Pauk City.
We had a pretty good crowd at 11 o'clock for Pauk of Politics. A lot of good questions came up. One of the things that you touched on, we do have an election coming up on Tuesday with the primary here in the state of Oklahoma. And also on the ballot, state question 802, shall we or shall we not expand Medicaid in the state of Oklahoma? I'd like to get Governor Kevin Stitt's thoughts on that.
Sure. Well, thank you so much. You know, in my opinion, 802 is going to be bad for Oklahoma, and I'm going to be voting no for it for a couple reasons. Number one, it is Medicaid expansion tied into our Constitution. I'm very reluctant to put anything in the Constitution because then that ties the hands of the future legislatures. And we already have one of the largest constitutions in U.S. history, and so I don't want to put something else in the Constitution like Medicaid expansion. Also, you've got to realize we already have Medicaid in Oklahoma. With about 800,000 citizens are on Medicaid. That's the aged, blind, disabled, pregnant women, children are already covered under Medicaid. So this is another group of about 200,000 people that are the working, able-bodied individuals without children would be eligible now for Medicaid. So those are the reasons I'm not for it. Secondly, how much does it cost us? So it's going to cost between $164 million to $200 million. We don't have the money. We have a budget deficit right now. So where is that money going to come from? It's going to come from, number one, either tax increases, which I will not vote for. I will not be for tax increases. I believe the state government, government can never spend enough money. So they're always going to want you to raise taxes. We're not for raising taxes. Number two would be it has to come from somewhere. So it's going to come from money that's allocated for education or roads and bridges or DHS or public safety. It's got to come from somewhere. And when you put something in the Constitution, the legislature will have to fund that program first. We just don't have the money to do that. And if we did, if it did pass, we would have 25% of our population on a government program, Medicaid. You look at Texas, our neighbor to the south, only 15% of their population is on Medicaid. So we already have Medicaid. This is just an expansion that's tied to our Constitution. It would not be good for Oklahoma.
If state question 802 passes, it's put in the Constitution, and that would bring in $1 billion, let's say, in health care. But what happens if Washington says, you know, we're not going to do this anymore? What would happen then in the state of Oklahoma should this pass Tuesday?
Well, and good point. You know, these commercials show, oh, it's $1 billion worth of tax dollars coming back into our state. It's a little bit misleading. $200 million comes from the taxpayers, which I've already said we don't have the money for. It's going to either come out of another program like education or roads and bridges, or they're going to be asking you to raise taxes, which I'm not going to be for. And then $800 million would come from the federal government. This all goes into hospitals, basically. Okay, it goes to hospitals. And so those are the reasons why I don't think that we can afford to do it. And then specifically with your question, you wanted me to address what?
What happens to, we're on the hook for $1 billion. Should Washington ever say, oh, we're not going to do Medicaid expansion anymore?
That's exactly right. I mean, the federal government can change the reimbursements to the state anytime they want. The current 800,000 people that we have is a match of 66-33, right? So we, right now, the 800,000, we have to pay 33% of that match. This new population is a 90-10 match today. But if the federal government changes that to more like the regular Medicaid expansion or the regular Medicaid patients, which is 66-33, then our $200 million could very quickly turn into $600 million. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the legislature, because it's part of the Constitution, would be tied, would have no other, option but to fund that first. And then those people are front in line, and the pregnant women, children are actually secondary to those folks that we have to fund. So for all those reasons, in my opinion, this should not pass.
From operating a business standpoint, I can give an example from my side of the Capitol and the legislature. What happens if something is put in the Constitution? The Hochatown Distillery asked me to run legislation to to allow them to sell their whiskey to tourists from Texas who come to Ho Chi Town, and you've been there. You've seen how many tourists come there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a great idea. It makes a lot of sense. I got with staff, and they said, you can't do that. Our liquor laws are in the Constitution. The only way Little Ho Chi Town Distillery can sell whiskey to Texans is to have a state question. And that's what happens when you put things in the Constitution. You cannot manage change, and here we are in a world of constant change. And if you put it in the Constitution, you can't manage it, in my opinion. So I'm going to vote no with you on that.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
COVID-19, we're still seeing some spikes all across the country. How are we doing here in the state of Oklahoma?
You know, I think Oklahomans are doing really, really good. We've handled this better than any other state, in my opinion. President Trump, Vice President Pence have constantly told me one of the reasons they came and chose Oklahoma to do their first rally was because of the way Oklahoma handled this. They think we've done this better than any other state. And I'll give Oklahomans some facts to back that up. You know, I first initiated 25 different executive orders, and we started that in early March. The reason we did that is to flatten the curve and extend out the spread of this to make sure that we could build capacity in our hospitals and we had adequate protective equipment for all of our healthcare workers. That was the original intent. We did that. We really slowed everything down. Oklahomans innovated. They changed their behavior. We started working from home and we really flattened that curve and pushed this out. So now fast forward to today. We are 64 days into our reopening plan. 64 days. We are months and months ahead of other states. I mean, really are. We are fully reopened as of June 1st. And so let me give you the facts. We knew we would have a little bit increase in cases. That was to be expected. And so we've had an increase in cases, but our hospitalizations are still perfectly manageable right now. We have, I think, around 300 people in the hospital across the state of Oklahoma. We built capacity for 5,000 hospital beds, so we have plenty of capacity. And the whole idea was never to have zero cases or zero people in the hospital. It was to make sure that we could manage this. And all those states that are bunkering in place and trying to shut everything down, they have a rude awakening when they start opening up in a month or 2 months or 6 months, because it's still here. We may have to live with this for the next 24 months. And so that was our point. I think Oklahomans are doing it the right way. And when you look at who's getting it, who's affected, it's still the most elderly, the vulnerable population, people that are immune compromised over the age of 65. Statistically, that's who we have to be concerned about. Since we've reopened 64 days, 70% of our cases have been under the age of 50. Okay. The death rate of under the age of 50 is 0.1%. And so again, I'm just telling all the facts to Oklahomans and then give them the freedom to manage their health care, to manage the protection of their family, how they're going to run their businesses. We have to have personal responsibility as we deal with this over the next, 2 years potentially.